Are you ready to talk baseball? Well, step up to the plate. You're listening to Passion for the Pastime. And here's your host, Walter.
Hey, how's it going, everybody? And welcome back to another episode of Passion for the Pastime podcast. I'm your host, Walter. And on this episode of the podcast, while we will be talking baseball, we won't be discussing balls and strikes. We won't be discussing unwritten rules. We won't be discussing pulling a pitcher from a perfect game within 80 pitches. We're not going to be talking about that. Instead, I am recording on the morning of April 15th, 2022. And what that signifies, if you do not know, let me give it to you. What that signifies is today, on this morning that I am recording this podcast, it marks the 75th anniversary of Jackie Robinson breaking the color barrier in baseball, changing the world with the Brooklyn Dodgers. And 25 years ago, to the day, April 15th, the number 42 was retired league-wide, and it was the first number of a player retired league-wide in any sport. That is the impact of Jackie Robinson. That should just tell you the magnitude of what Jackie Robinson stood for, who he was as a man, as a ball player, but as a human, as a fighter against injustice. That's Jackie Robinson's legacy. I feel like a lot of people forget that. You know, they remember the baseball aspect of it, but we have to remember that Jackie Robinson wasn't just a baseball story. It was a civil rights story. It was a human story. And we have to remember that every April 15th, if you don't already. So on this episode of the podcast, I'm going to be speaking with a good buddy of mine, Adam Copeland. He's the co-host of Tolbert and Copes on KNBR 104.5 and 680. We're going to be talking with Adam Copeland and get his thoughts on Jackie Robinson Day. But before we get to Adam, love to hear what he has to say about it. Before we get to Adam, you know, just to give you a little bit of a background on Jackie Robinson and who he was, right? And why we celebrate Jackie Robinson Day. And it all kind of started with Ken Griffey Jr. in 1997. 1997 was the year, again, I said 25th anniversary, if you count backwards. That leads us to the year 1997, which was the first year that it was observed in baseball. The 50-year anniversary. And that's when they retired his number. And he had passed away in 1972. So Jackie Robinson was survived by his kids, his grandkids, and Rachel Robinson, his wife. And honestly, I mean, we all talk about Jackie. We have to pay the respects to Rachel Robinson also, because she kept the dream alive. She kept the momentum of Jackie Robinson, the Jackie Robinson Foundation, everything that he stood for, kept his legacy going. And she turns 100 this year. In July, she turns 100 years old. She will be part of the festivities in Los Angeles tonight. Again, that's on Apple TV. Kind of weird, but they're doing a special, I believe it's a, from what I saw, it's a special celebration of Jackie Robinson broadcast for both the Tampa Bay Rays and the Chicago White Sox on the south side of Chicago. And then the Reds taking on the Dodgers at Dodger Stadium. A lot of festivities. There's been a lot of festivities already happening on Jackie Robinson Day. Named a portion of 42nd Street in New York. 42nd Street, a portion of that was named Jackie Robinson Way. They also had some festivities with kids playing ball. Softball events, a play ball event. Down there in Times Square. So a lot of festivities going on. 42 being lit on the Empire State Building. A lot of good gestures from the game of baseball. A lot of a lot of festivities going on, and of course, all players wearing the number 42, which it hadn't started until after the 97 year, right? Or I guess that's where it started from. That's where it stemmed. The idea was Ken Griffey Jr. Ken Griffey Jr. wanted to pay homage to the man that his dad spoke so highly of, right? And the man that made it all possible for his dad to be in the league and for Ken Griffey Jr. to later be in the league. And he was on earlier today on MLB Network, and he was discussing how around the dinner table, there was five guys that was discussed. That, you know, in his household, those were the holy five, if you will. And it was Willie Mays, Hank Aaron, Roberto Clemente, Willie Stargell, they were in Pittsburgh, and Jackie Robinson. But Jackie Robinson was the one that started it all, right? So the reason that Ken Griffey Jr., he called up Bud Selig, and he's like, hey, I want to switch my number from 24 to 42 on this day in 1997 on that 50th anniversary, and he did. And he was one, I think he might have been the only player to do it. And how cool of Ken Griffey Jr. to do that, just to call up the commissioner, like, hey, commish, hey, what's up, bud? It's Ken. Yo, this is what I want to do. Like, how awesome is that? That's why I grew up idolizing Ken Griffey Jr. because he didn't give a damn. He was so cool. He was so confident. He was just, I'm going to do this. I'm not going to have somebody tell me no. But that's kind of where the idea stemmed from. And then again, he asked the commissioner and Rachel Robinson. They asked again, can I wear his number? And this was in 2007 for Jackie Robinson Day, which would be the 60th anniversary, if I'm remembering correctly. It would be the 60th anniversary. And that's where it all began. That's where the players would start wearing the numbers. The first official Jackie Robinson Day was 2004. But where the players started wearing the number 42, players, managers, everyone on the field would wear a number 42. It all started because of Ken Griffey Jr., and that tradition started in 2009. So almost 10 years, or a little over, it was 12 years after the fact that the number was officially retired. And again, other players were wearing 42. Mariano Rivera, the most famous, being the last player to don that number, fittingly so. Hall of Famer in his own right. But that changed how we viewed Jackie Robinson Day, as a fan. But again, it's bigger than the game of baseball, right? It's bigger than the game of baseball. Jackie Robinson sparked change in this country. And it's because of how he played the game of baseball, right? It's how he came into everyone's lives. But it's also how he presented himself as a human being and how he put others' needs ahead of his own. And what I mean by that is you even look back on, and I've been reading a whole bunch of stories on Jackie Robinson, and that's always a refresher, right? Every April 15th, you love to see these stories come out, new ones come out, old ones be, they're revitalized, and you remember the stories, you remember the hardships, you watch that movie 42, you remember everything that Jackie Robinson had to endure to get us to this point. And you always get great quotes from Jackie Robinson, man. And, one was at his 25th year observance, right? In 72, literally a week before he passed, he was at a ceremony celebrating the 25th anniversary of Jackie Robinson breaking that color barrier. And extremely selfless. And this is just who the man was. This sums it up for Jackie Robinson, right? But he made it relatable in a baseball sense. in his ceremony, he speaks to the crowd. This is the last time that he spoke publicly in a baseball setting. He says, "I'm extremely proud and pleased to be here this afternoon. But I must admit, I'm going to be tremendously more pleased and more proud when I look at third base coaching line one day and see a black face managing in baseball." He took that moment that was celebrating him and his accomplishments to address the change that needs to happen. That's Jackie Robinson. He never stopped fighting for injustice where he saw it. And that takes a special individual to do. Right? And since he retired in 1956, this is another story, and then we'll wrap up. We'll get to Adam. Leave you guys with this. He hadn't spoke with Dodgers president Peter O'Malley since he retired in 56. Got traded to the Giants. He said, "Nope, I'm not going to be used as a used car. I don't like," and this was another, you know, just to get into the mindset of a Jackie Robinson. He said, "I didn't want to be controlled. I didn't like people having control over my life." So he retired. He didn't like that aspect of the game. And the big word there is control, right? He looked at it as being controlled. He didn't like that. So he retired. Hadn't spoke to the Dodgers president ever since. And when the Dodgers would retire his number on that 25th anniversary in 1972, literally a week before he passes away, I think it's 9 days is what it was, he spoke to Peter O'Malley and he told him what was troubling him. And he said the lack of black managers in the game. And this was before Frank Robinson would break that barrier in 1975. This was 3 years before that happened. And it took the Dodgers organization, 44 more years from that moment to hire Dave Roberts, their first black manager. But this is what Jackie said. He said, "I told Peter I was disturbed by the way baseball treats its black players after their playing days are through. It's hard to look at a sport which black athletes have virtually saved, and when a managerial job opens, they give it to a guy who's failed in other areas because he's white." That's Jackie Robinson for you. He called it as it was. He called it like it was. Called it like it is. And you have to respect the man for that. For someone calling bull when they see it. And that's the legacy of Jackie Robinson. He had that fiery mentality on and off the field. And I think that those lessons that we had from Jackie Robinson, they could be preached today and how we move forward as a society. And those quotes, by the way, they were from Ron Rappaport in a story that he wrote in the LA Times. You guys should go check that out. It was a great read. Go check those out. A lot to talk about on the other side with Adam Copeland. Get his thoughts on Jackie Robinson Day, Jackie Robinson's legacy, and so, so much more. It's going to be fun talking to Adam Copeland on the other side. It's Jackie Robinson 75th Anniversary Day. You're listening to Passion for the Pastime Podcast. All right, everybody, welcome back to Passion for the Pastime Podcast. I am your host, Walter. On this 75th anniversary of Jackie Robinson Day, I am joined by Adam Copeland, and he is a longtime guest on this podcast, or a regular, if you will, but if you ask him in the elevator, he doesn't recall the last time he was on this podcast. So Adam Copeland from KMBR 104.5 and 680, you can hear him every day during the week, Monday through Friday, 2 to 6 now with Tolbert and Copes. Copes, how you doing, man?
I'm good, man. It's not that I don't remember you specifically. I just, you know, I'm big now. You know, I do so many things. I have so many opportunities and people to talk to. It's just, you know, you forget where you came from sometimes, Walter. But I'm happy to be back on, dude.
Yeah, Appreciate that. Appreciate you taking time for us little people. I appreciate that, man. But yeah, man, I wanted to have you on this episode specifically with Jackie Robinson, 75th anniversary. It's great. How are you enjoying your 75th anniversary of Jackie Robinson Day?
It's cool, man. I was thinking about it earlier today in that, you know, it's the fact that black players were not allowed or people of color were not allowed to play baseball for so many years. It's such a mark on the game of baseball, right? And it's not that we ignored it for so many years. I mean, baseball went out and they retired 42. I think it was in my lifetime because we still had guys like Mo Vaughn were grandfathered in wearing 42. Obviously, Mariano Rivera, the last one to wear 42. And I've always sort of struggled with that, thinking like, what if a guy wanted to honor Jackie Robinson? What if a guy wanted to wear 42? Like Robinson Cano, who is named after Jackie Robinson and wears 24. For that number exactly. But then you think about how baseball has celebrated it, that they've taken something, and not to say that everything is correct and that pro sports leagues have handled race correctly, but for a game that basically was the face of the nation for so many years and that has had a rich history with black baseball players and a segregated league, the Negro Leagues to the major leagues. We don't have any other league really like that with the NHL or with the NBA or with Major League, or excuse me, with the NFL. We don't look at those the same way. So baseball has kind of flipped the bad mark on itself on its head. And now we celebrate this day. Everybody wears 42. We look back, to me, the best part about it is we get to look back at the history of the game. You get to look at what Jackie Robinson meant to the game of baseball, what he meant off the field, the type of player he was. And then you hear some of the legends, the guys that are still around. Willie Mays at 92 years old coming up this year has ties to Jackie Robinson. You have Dusty Baker, who, you know, played alongside Hank Aaron and was called terrible, terrible names when he was chasing Babe Ruth's record. And Dusty Baker, a black man in his own right, got to live through that or had to live through that. And so we forget, I think, how recently this was. 75 years is a lifetime, sure, but it's also not that many generations away. This is not ancient history. The 1947 was not that long ago in terms of our history and in terms of the history of baseball. And we connect ourselves, I think, to players of the past frequently. So it's a celebratory day, and it's a great opportunity to look back and also a great opportunity to look within and look at the work that we still have to do, because we saw earlier this week with the Giants, you know, with Mike Schilt's comments to Antoine Richardson of the Giants, that this is still something that, and while they've squashed that, it's still something that cannot be forgotten because it does still live today.
Yeah, it's very much prevalent in today's society, and you know, you see with the Black Lives Matter movement and everything going on in recent years. I mean, Jackie Robinson, his teachings, his lessons that we can take back from when he first joined and integrated into the league in 47. You know, those lessons can still be, you know, we can learn from that a lot from that, taking that into today's society. But you know, the festivities, it was great. I mean, it's always a great day of remembrance to remember Jackie Robinson, what he endured, and how we got to this point, right? Because as you mentioned, Willie Mays, you know, we don't get a Willie Mays. We don't get a Barry Bonds. We don't get some of those players, you know, that are legends to the game, the legends that we grew up as kids. We were taught that these are the legends to look up to, and then that leads to the legends that we saw growing up in Ken Griffey Jr., right? So it all stems back to Jackie Robinson, and that's just a good way to remember every April 15th. And this is the 75th anniversary, so they went all out. I mean, did you see the unveiling of 42nd and Broadway over there? They named it temporarily Jackie Robinson Way, and they lit up the number 42 on the Empire State Building. Just all these acts that they're doing on April 15th this year, they're going above and beyond to remember the legacy and remember what Jackie Robinson stood for.
Yeah, I do think it's really cool. And I know a few years ago, the Dodgers finally did unveil a Jackie Robinson statue, and it's a great, right, one of his traditional slides into home type of statue. I remember thinking, what took so long? Not only is he, you know, a historic player in baseball, but he's one of the all-time greats from your franchise. He's an MVP. So it is great that he's getting the recognition, and it's great that kids today grow up. And I think you and I both did, knowing what the history meant, but I think for a long time we didn't. And then once, right, he passed, it became a bigger thing. You know, we look back at, like, I was talking about how now, it's not so long ago that this happened. And you mentioned, you know, guys like Ken Griffey Jr. and Barry Bonds. Bonds is a great one to look at because you talk about how Jackie debuted in 47, right? Right. Willie Mays debuts 4 years later in 1951. And when Willie Mays came up, there were still players on the team that were already black. Actually, Monty Irvin, who, you know, has his number retired as a Giant, number 20 is retired. There was talk that he was going to be the first player to break the color barrier, and then it ended up being Jackie. But what's interesting is back then, it's not like there was a rule that said black players couldn't play. This was an unspoken or a spoken gentleman's agreement among owners, general managers, sort of the league itself, that they just weren't going to sign or hire black players out of the Negro Leagues. It wasn't something they were going to do. And even when they did start doing it, they did it in the way, like, let me give you an example. Like, if you right now were to go to play international basketball, let's say a player is not drafted to the NBA and they go to play in Israel, or they go to Australia, or they go to Spain, call those players imports. You're not allowed in those leagues to get all players who were just college phenoms who didn't end up drafted. You're only allowed to have two or three of those guys on a roster at a time. Baseball sort of did the same thing. When Willie Mays is called up in 1951 as a 20-year-old and they bring him up to play center field, they sent down Artie Wilson, who was another black player, a shortstop, who ended up coming out west. He ended up playing for the Oakland Oaks for a number of years and ended up playing for the Seattle Pilots and was an all-time great infielder in the Pacific Coast League, but they did not want to have an uneven number of black players on the team because they wanted, A, to dominate their team still with white players. They weren't going to fill out an entirely black roster, and they also wanted these guys to be able to room together. So it was almost a trade-off. We're not going to have too many of them, but we are still going to have the superior ones. The best black players around are going to play for us. So you jump from 47 to 51. You go from 51 with Willie Mays to when Bobby Bonds debuts, and a lot of people thought Bobby Bonds was going to be the next Willie Mays. He had an incredible skill set. He just struck out too much, but he was a good fielder. He stole tons of bases. He hit for power. Not the same average, I don't think. Well, not that I don't think. He did not hit for the same average that Willie Mays hit for. But then you go one generation further. Barry Bonds is Willie Mays' godson. We grew up loving Barry Bonds, idolizing Barry Bonds, and he debuted in the late 80s, right? Or in the mid to late 80s. That was just 40 some odd years after right. Jackie had made his debut. So baseball's great because you can connect yourself to history through one or two or three players. You can go all the way back to the Babe Ruth days or to the Ducky Medwick days of the 1930s and 40s St. Louis Cardinals. You can go all the way back, but with something like this, it is still modern history, and it's just so great that we've made this guy an icon for our game, and that April 15th is now a national holiday in the game of baseball.
Yeah, and, you know, as you mentioned with Barry Bonds and players that you know, we grew up watching and idolizing, Ken Griffey Jr. is kind of the guy that got it all started, right? I mean, in 97, the 50-year anniversary, 97, man. How old were you in 97?
97, I was 8 years old, and I always joke that, like, as a baseball fan, 97 is kind of, like, I was a fan as a kid, right? Everybody grows up, you know, you play catch with your dad, or somebody teaches you the game, right? Whether it's a mom or a brother or a cousin, somebody teaches you the book of baseball, right? And you fall in love with it, and you ask questions, and I remember going to games and asking my dad about stuff. I remember being at a friend's house in 97, and my dad came and picked me up early. I was supposed to spend the night, and he came and said, no, you can't spend the night. We got to go home and watch Game 7 of the World Series. It was Marlins and the Cleveland Indians at the time, and I remember being kind of irritated, like, why can't I stay at my friend's house? We watched that game, and I'll never forget the walk-off hit from Edgar Renteria. Craig Counsell comes across the plate, and it was cool. It's a cool early baseball memory. I came online, I always joke, as a baseball fan in 1998. I remember the offseason. I remember the entire summer of the long ball between Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa. But you're right, in that I was a third grader going into fourth grade. So 97, I was still a kid, second, third grade, and I guess I was aware of Ken Griffey Jr., but probably not even until a little bit later, because he was a superstar, but the American League guys I wasn't paying as much attention to, and we didn't have national televised games the same way we do now, where they're on every single day and you can get every game. But you're right, Ken Griffey Jr. was absolutely a huge part of that, and I think my connection to him, and a lot of people our age's connection to him, is that he was the kid, right? He was the young player. He's kind of like how kids relate to Steph Curry, because he's sort of got that boyish look out there. He's not really tiny. He's like 6'3", but we look at him and we go, oh, he's a kid out there. He's small. He wasn't really that way. Ken Griffey Jr. had that same sort of flair, and he didn't have any of the should we say, like, I don't want to call it media problems. He was viewed differently by the media than Barry Bonds, and because he was the son of a big leaguer and played with his dad with the Seattle Mariners, it was just a little bit different. But you're right, Ken Griffey Jr., probably the tip of the iceberg for me. I've just always been more of a Bonds guy, but it's Bonds, Griffey, probably 1 and 1A for me.
I mean, it's just crazy just to think about Griffey, you know, getting back into the Jackie Robinson conversation, how he just calls up Bud Selig. He's like, hey, I want to do this. I want to flip my number backwards. And he let him do it. that's the type of person that that Ken Griffey Jr. was. And that's just the gravity of what kind of player he was, the person he was. And, you know, we don't get Ken Griffey. Again, we don't get any of these players without Jackie Robinson. I want to kind of circle back, Adam, real quick. We're talking about Adam Copeland of KNBR. I do wonder how Jackie would feel about the state of the game today. Right? Because there is a lot more diversity on the player side. I mean, you look around, you do have all of these Latin players, and I absolutely love it, right? I love seeing Vlad Jr. I love seeing Ronald Acuna. I love seeing Fernando Tatis. But, you know, there's plenty of men of color being the stars of the next generation that we're seeing before our eyes. You know, they're blooming into these stars. But the unfortunate truth is that less than 10% are black players, right? Are not of Latin descent, and I bet you can name most of the black players, you know, on your hands. There's not a lot of them in the game of baseball, and you look back at the representation as far as the managers, right? There's only two. There's only two, Dusty and Dave Roberts. That's it of color, and then there's four or three. I think there's three now because Rick Renteria is no longer manager. So I think there's only three Latin coaches: Ollie Marmol, who is it? Dave Martinez and Alex Cora, right? I believe that's it.
Right, right.
Or Montoya. So there's four. There's still four in the league. But yeah, how do you think that Jackie would feel looking at, because he was always about inclusion, and that was one of his biggest things. Even you look back at his 25th observance ceremony where he came out there and it was a moment to celebrate him, his 25th anniversary, right before he passed away at 72. He comes out and says, I'm proud to be here and pleased with this afternoon, but I must admit, I'd be tremendously more pleased. This is a quote from Jackie. I'd be tremendously more pleased and more proud when I look at third base coaching line and there's a black face managing in baseball. And this was obviously a comment made before Frank Robinson made his debut 3 years later after the fact. Jackie never saw that. So it's like, how do you think Jackie would feel looking at the game today with a lot of the men of color that we have in the game, but a lot of them not black, they're of Latin descent. How would he feel about that?
It's a great question. It's a complex question because of where sports in America have gone. And I think if you pull back and you look at this from a big picture standpoint, it's less about baseball's diversity. And I'm with you. As a black man, it's you know, I fall in love with guys like Lamont Wade Jr. because, and you mentioned as a Latino man, like you like seeing players and people in any business or any form of art or whatever it is representing you because you understand that they come from a cut of cloth or a piece of ground that not only you alone stand on, that a lot of people stand on, and you jump off from there, and so it's relatable. I think what's interesting about that question is baseball at the time that Jackie broke in was the American pastime, right? We still call it that, but it's not really anymore. Football is clearly now the American pastime. So when basketball is obviously globally taken over as a sport that is enormous. You go to Australia or to Africa or to Spain, and basketball is huge. And baseball is truly an American sport. You play it in Canada, and they play it in obviously these Latin American countries, but soccer is the biggest sport in the world. I think the way you have to look at it a little bit, and it is disappointing because you point out how few black players we have, less than 10%. There's one double play combo in baseball, second base and shortstop, of Tim Anderson and Josh Harrison on the Chicago White Sox. That's the one black double play combo, second base, short. And I know that changes because of the way the game is run nowadays. So I think in some aspects, he would not be extremely happy with the number of players. That said, the game of baseball is not viewed in America the way it was 75 years ago. So I think the way kids grow up now and the way kids try to, and oftentimes try to get out of tough situations, they find their pathway through basketball and through football. And a lot of times with basketball, I look at this because you look at inner city areas and you say, and this is the same with, I believe, why soccer is the biggest sport globally. You don't need equipment. You need a soccer ball or anything you call a soccer ball. And you can say, hey, that tree and this t-shirt that I throw down, you kick it between there, that's a goal, right? Basketball, you need a hoop and you need a slab of concrete, if it's concrete. Some kids are playing on dirt or whatever. So you don't need a whole lot of stuff. You can play one-on-one. You can play two-on-two. You don't need 18 kids or 18 people to play the game. Back then, baseball was viewed differently because it was the sport. You figure the reason the Giants and the Dodger rivalry started was because the Giants were the elites. They were the rich white people would go to games and wear their coats and ties, and it was a thing. The men went to the ball game. Then you'd go out to Brooklyn, where a lot of people had come through Ellis Island, and it was a diverse crowd. It's funny, I think back to that, and I go, boy, if I was growing up back then, I'd probably be a Dodger fan, just based on what Brooklyn meant, right? It was a team of multicultural fans. You had immigrants from Italy and from Europe and from all over the place who were sort of shunned and viewed as lesser than in New York at that time. And so Jackie then makes the debut there, and you tap into an entirely new fan base. And you hear from Willie Mays, and he says, I didn't know that I had an opportunity to go to the major leagues. I was reading John Shea's book on Willie Mays, and he says, when Willie's dad told him Jackie was breaking the color barrier, Willie said, wow, I would have played for the Birmingham Black Barons and called it a career. That would have been it. I did not think that was an opportunity. So there are a couple of ways of looking at it. It's extremely sad that we don't have the growth of baseball in the black community that we used to. It's also fantastic that we have that growth in the Latin American community, or in the Latin community, I should say, with Dominicans and Venezuelans and Puerto Ricans, but it's sort of the same thing. You go to the Dominican, and those kids aren't playing on perfect diamonds with baseballs. They're taping up balls and playing with pine cones, and they're using broomsticks. They're playing stickball, kind of the way kids used to do it back in New York in the 40s and in the 30s. They'd play in the street. But then you look at other sports where, white people are the minorities, American white people sometimes even the minorities in the game of basketball. And the same can be said in the game of football. Skill position players almost always are people of color. So I don't really know what Jackie's view on this would be. I think he would still probably say, we've come a long way, but as I pointed out before, when you have an incident like we saw on Tuesday with Antoine Richardson and Mike Schilt, where words matter and tone and context matter. Right. It wasn't about him saying, control that motherfucker. It was about him saying, control. And control to a black man in any way, based on what our heritage and our history is, can be hurtful. And it means something different to people of color and to people who had ancestors and people in their family who were slaves. If I want to do an ancestry.com thing and figure out where I come from, or if I want to figure out the first person in my family to come to America, I can't do that. I can only go back to the first freed slave who I know. My great-great-great-great-grandfather Augustus Williamson is the first freed slave in my family because they were not part of the census before that. So I think Jackie would look at the game and say, yes, the game has made tremendous strides to be better. The game has been more inclusive. And I think specifically with the Giants, it's really, really cool to have an Asian-American bench coach, to have a woman who's on the coaching staff. You've got diverse people. Craig Albernaz. You've got Latin people or people of Latino descent or Latinx descent on the Giants coaching staff. So across the board, I think the game is in a good place as far as diversity goes. It is still somewhat kind of sad to me because there are fewer black players now than there were when we were growing up. And you go back further than that, Walter, like you look at the 60s and the 70s, I would make a case for the black baseball player being – you look at Willie Mays, you look at Hank Aaron, you look at Bob Gibson, you look at Frank Robinson, we can go up and down rosters and say the best players in baseball, Willie Stargell, were black baseball players, So it's a two-part answer, and I've kind of danced around a lot here. I just sort of think he would be happy in some regard, but the way you look at the way the nation is divided now, the way you look at the lack of black players in the game, it is sad in some respects.
You can acknowledge progress in some areas, but know that there's still work to be done. I think that's kind of where we'll get to. But man, this is a conversation I think to be continued, right? Because you can't sum all this up in 20 minutes. Adam, I appreciate you coming on. Just to go back to that control, what you brought up, just remembering Jackie. I've been reading a whole bunch on Jackie, and that's always fun to do around this time, right? Is to remember him and remember what he stood for. He retired from baseball because of he didn't like the idea of someone else controlling his life. And that's what he said when he got traded to the Giants. He was just like, well, you know what? I don't want to be traded around like a used car. I don't want to be controlled. So it's always, you know, those words that are triggering that, you know, that people need to be mindful of. And that's kind of goes back to what happened earlier this week with the Giants and the Marlins. But Copes, just to end it on a lighter note, man, are you rocking a Dodgers Jackie Robinson jersey to celebrate the 75th anniversary?
No, I will not rock a Jackie Robinson jersey. I will tell you this. I'll tell you a funny story though. When I was 16, I was a pretty good baseball player when I was younger. I was 16. I played on this travel team. I got scouted to play on this travel team. And it was a couple of kids from my high school. And basically I played in the HAL out in the East Bay, but you know, 7 or 8 or 10 high schools were all in the same conference. And so they ran our team. The guy who was the general manager of that team, out of San Leandro, out of Washington Manor Baseball. He had been the head coach of a Texas Rangers, and they weren't the Texas Rangers, they were just the Rangers, multiple Little League World Series championship teams, right? He had sort of scouted ball and recruited kids to play for him. Then he moved up and he wasn't coaching anymore. He was just kind of a GM. So he gathered a bunch of kids. We had a manager, we had a pitching coach. It was the most professionally run amateur baseball team I was ever on. We traveled the whole West Coast. It was a lot of fun. We were really, really good. But, Walter, the team was the Dodgers, and we wore the Dodger uniforms. And so it was a big deal to me. And I remember I said to my mom, and my mother's white, and she hates the Dodgers in her own right. And I said, it's so tough because I want to play for this team. It's an honor to get asked. And it was a great team, one of the best summers of baseball I ever played. And she said, you know what you should do? You should make your number 42. And I said, lock it in. That's the best way to go about it. So nice. For a whole summer, I did play for the Dodgers. I also wore number 42, which eased some of that pain. Also, my mom that entire summer sat in the stands and she wouldn't say, go Dodgers. She would say, go San Leandro team. It was how she would cheer for it because she couldn't bring herself. And by the way, at the end of the year, we took my warm-up jersey that had my name on the back. Toss that shit in the fire, Walter. I ain't having any evidence. No evidence of my name being on the back of a Dodger jersey. I'll tell you that.
Oh, man, that is a good spot to end it. Copes, I really appreciate you coming on and talking some Jackie Ball, man. That was a great story to end it. We'll definitely have to do it again for sure, man. Appreciate you coming on to the podcast. We'll do it again soon.
Oh, anytime, dude. Always fun.
There it is, Mr. Adam Copeland. Man, I can't thank him enough for taking the time. He is big time now. He is big time. Go ahead and listen to him on KMBR 104.5 to 680, 2 to 6 during the week, Monday through Friday. He's big time, and he made time for the little people. That just says how much I appreciate Copes. But, man, that was a fun conversation. We have to do it again soon. And hopefully he remembers this conversation next time. It was very insightful. I hope you all enjoyed this conversation and remember this conversation. A lot to take away from this talk. And, yeah, like I told Adam, this isn't a conversation that you can just have in 20 minutes. This is an ongoing conversation that need to continue to happen even outside of Jackie Robinson Day, right? This is just the starter. This is the refresher, the April 15th, 2022, the 75th anniversary of Jackie Robinson Day. And we're reminded everything that he went through, and we're also reminded how much further we need to go to reach what Jackie envisioned for equality in that time. Obviously, it is a different time from 1947 to 2022, but there is still a lot to be done. But I enjoyed that conversation so much with Adam. I appreciate him taking the time for us little people. Us little people. I love having him on. I love talking to Copes. It was a great conversation. So I hope you guys enjoyed that conversation as well. We'll be talking more baseball. We'll be talking more Jackie. We're not only going to keep it to one day of the year. We're not going to keep it to April 15th. We're going to keep this thing rolling all year round just so that we can be reminded of those lessons that we should be pushing forward every single day of the year, not only on Jackie Robinson Day. So I enjoyed that conversation. Hope you did too. Remember to subscribe to the podcast. Go ahead and give us a follow, share, make sure you spread the word, spread the good word. Let people know that this is what you need to listen to. This episode, I loved it. I hope you did as well. And we got more content coming up all year long. We're not going to stop. We're going to keep coming every single week of the baseball year. So again, I hope you guys enjoyed it. I sure did. It was a fun episode. It's a fun week. It's a fun day. Happy Jackie Robinson Day, the 75th anniversary of Jackie Robinson breaking the color barrier in 1947 with those Brooklyn Dodgers and started a movement that will never be forgotten. And it changed the world as we know it today for the better. But again, we have plenty more to do. Hope you guys have a good one. Be safe. And I'll talk to you next time.